sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back in the show. This is the third and final hour, Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network this Tuesday, October 14th, 2025 edition. Joining us on the line right now is a longtime friend, Dave Ajima. He was a very conservative, voted most conservative state representative for 6 years in Lansing back when we had term limits. And then he also served on the Republican National Committee, National Committee Man for Michigan back in the 2016 convention in Cleveland, Ohio. He helped write the platform that helped Donald Trump defeat Hillary Clinton that year. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Dave, I want to take this short segment. We got about 4 or 5 minutes here before the break. Could you please explain your bio? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to college? Where did you serve in the military? Everything basically about Dave Ajima.
Well, basically, I always wanted to fly since I was a kid. I thought it looked like a good deal. My parents didn't have the money for flying lessons. I graduated from Calvin College, got married, took the test to get in the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy, and flight training, and I got accepted in all three. I picked the Air Force, and from there, I spent about 7.5 years active duty and another 8 years flying in the Guards, and then another 11, 12 years basically recruiting for the Air Force Academy. That's why I'm waiting as we speak. Tomorrow it'll be over, but I'm waiting to have a major back surgery tomorrow for my wrecked back from pulling G's and those fighter airplanes that I flew. And when I got elected as a state rep, I ran on one of the main issues I ran on way back in 2006 when I took office in 2007 was to stop illegal immigration. Why? Because I saw it firsthand. When I flew with American Airlines, I saw my flights were filled with illegals. They dump on the flight like 10 minutes prior to departure. They'd either flock on the airplane, this is before they had all the inspections I got now, or they'd go out with 40 empty seats. And the deal was, I asked the agent, what's the deal? I'm always scheduled overbooked, but I got 40 open seats. As well, they find out INS is checking a day so they don't show. So I knew illegal immigration was a huge issue. I personally probably hauled thousands of them to Chicago, and from there they'd spread out. So basically that's how I got involved with that. And then I got to meet some very influential people like General Boykin and Kamal Saleem, a good friend of mine. Kamal Saleem was a former Muslim Brotherhood terrorist, now a Christian, who was sent to America to destroy America from within. His goal was to go to the heart of the Bible Belt, which is the South. And unfortunately, he got in a very serious accident. It was actually fortunate for him. Based on that, he became a Christian from what he saw the Christians do and say, which was totally opposite of what he was told. And then from there, basically had an opportunity to be about 21, 22 times on ABN, Aramaic Broadcasting Network, where we would debate imams or Muslims on the phone. To the right of me was a former Muslim, not Christian. To the left of me was a former Muslim, not Christian. I learned tremendous amounts about the Muslim faith, or Islamic faith, through those people. So that basically brought me here. And when I put the bills in for American law for American courts, which basically says we're not going to allow Sharia law in the state of Michigan, it was basically thrown under the bus by Wayne Schmidt's committee. You're very familiar with him up there in North, I'm sure.
Yep.
And it was not a vote, was not even allowed on it. And Bolger promised me a vote on E-Verify to stop the illegal immigration and also American law for American courts. He reneged on both. He lied. Why? Because they were too controversial. So both Bolger, Meekhoff, and Snyder at the time, I thought this was too controversial. They couldn't handle it. Well, I got news for you, folks. This controversial is what you needed. We should have passed those a long time ago. We could have saved a lot of money in the state of Michigan. There.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And perfect timing, almost as if you got a show clock there at your studio. So we're going to continue the conversation with Dave Agerman. We're going to go very slowly through this question and answer session. If you have any questions, text me 231-360-5140. Short break. We'll be right back with Dave Agerman.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Are you sick and tired of the same old political talking points with no real solutions? Inaction isn't leadership. It's time for new leadership in Michigan's 1st District. Someone with fresh perspectives, new ideas, and a willingness to listen to the people they serve. It's time for change. I'm Justin Michael, and I'm running for U.S. Congress to put Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula back on track. Let's bridge the divides together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Hey Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Staying through the break is Dave Ajima. We're going to have a conversation, a discussion about religion. We're going to talk about something that a lot of people are very uncomfortable about talking about. But Dave, the reason that I wanted to have on today is because of this big peace deal that Donald Trump, you know, did, pulled off. Even Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton gave him credit for pulling this deal together there in Israel, Gaza, dealing with the Arab states, having the meeting in Egypt. But I want to back the bus up because some people don't fully understand Muslim faith. They don't understand Islam, Arabs. They basically, there's so many different sects out there, and there's so many different countries, even in the Middle East. When we say Middle East, people like deer in headlights, they don't understand it. So if you could just back the bus up a little bit and explain Muslim faith, explain Islam, Arabs, just try to give us an overview, if you will, based on your experiences and the people you've spoken with.
Okay, let's start with, for example, Muslims believe in the Quran. Everybody knows that, right? But what they Yes. don't know is there's three different parts. It's called a trilogy in Islamic faith. You got the Quran, which is only 14% of religion. 86% of the religion is made up of the Sirah and the Hadith. That's what Muhammad said and did in his biography. That's 86%. So really, it's a quasi-religion. It's really more of a political movement, a militaristic movement. When Muhammad had a dream and he told his wife, you know, I think I'm going nuts here, and his wife says, no, you're hearing from God. So he said he heard from God and it was Allah, and he gave him the Quran. So back then, if you were a wife of a man, you were second class, third class, but it made her something. So he came up with the Quran. He was in Mecca. There was a cubicle there that had about 300 different gods in it, and he picked the god Allah out of those 300, and that's what he called Allah, God, his God. And from there started the religion of Islam. However, in Mecca, over the period of years, I don't remember how many years it was, 10 years, 12 years, he only had about 10 or 12 converts. Most of them were his own family members. So he fled and went to Medina. The Jews welcomed him there, but he became a political a warlord there, and he surrounded himself with men, and he told them, hey, join me, because if you kill for Allah, you can take the infidel or the kafir, that's the same thing, that would be like me or you are called kafirs or infidels. If you kill the men, you can have their wives and their daughters for sex slaves and take their possessions. So what a deal that was. So a bunch of people jumped on that bandwagon because, hey, they could go out with a bunch of thugs and kill these people. And, oh, by the way, he promised if you kill for the cause of Islam, you will go to heaven. Of course, you get your 72 virgins. I have no clue where they get them from, but that's what you get. So then he went back to Mecca, and then he sat in a tent with his six-year-old wife that he married, and he consummated that marriage at nine, so he's a pedophile. And by the way, Muhammad could not read or write. Keep that in mind. And he killed all the Jews that would not believe in him as a prophet. So from there started Islam. Now, the problem is, when they went through the books and discovered various people had different ideas what Muhammad said or did. Well, today they will say the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sirah are perfect. You can't be changed. Well, they were changed, because when they saw these different people and interviewed them, they found out they don't all tell the same story. So then several hundred years ago, they all got together and says, we got to have one Quran. So they gathered all the Qurans they didn't want, dumped them, and said, if you have the wrong one, you're in trouble. And they came with the Quran they got today. So here you have it today. They have a religion, quasi-religion, that basically says, we are a religion of peace to fool you. That's called taqiyya. They are allowed to lie if it furthers the cause of Islam. And they say, we are peaceful. Actually, what the Quran and Sunnah says is, there will only be peace when we convert the whole world to Islam. Until then, there will be war. Thus, you'll see from Muhammad until now, hundreds of millions of people have been killed by Islam. It continues to this day, and they really hate Jews. That probably goes back to when Isaac had Ishmael, and Isaac Ishmael's the father of the Arabs, Isaac's father of the Jews. And you remember, Ishmael was the son of the Egyptian handmaiden, because God promised Isaac that he'd have a child, but his wife didn't think it was happening because she was old. So she says, take my handmaiden. That was Ishmael. The promise was with Ishmael, not Isaac. So to this day, they hate the Jews. That's what started all that. So here we are today. We've got a religion that goes into every country they can, the Arab Spring, if you will. They invade the country through illegal and legal immigration, just like what Biden and Obama did to our country. And they want to get involved in your schools and your politics. It's already happened here. But look at France. Look at Germany. Look at Great Britain. Look at Italy, especially Great Britain. They're just having a terrible time with Muslims. Look at Dearborn, Michigan. You won't even recognize it. You go there 10 times a day over the loudspeakers. It's called prayer. Now, that's almost like a country within our country. So it's got to change. And the only reason it's going to change if we can convert some Muslims, or we can convince our politicians that Islam must be considered an enemy of the United States, which they are. And a little note here, every mosque that you see anywhere in the United States, especially Michigan, when they get their zakat, which is like equal to our tithe that you would give your church,
sure,
a portion of that zakat must go to jihad. So essentially, every mosque is a terrorist organization. That's frightening. We talk about all these countries that support terrorism. We got the mosque in the United States and Michigan doing the very same thing. So that's quick rundown.
Yeah, on that point, and I just want to get clarification on a couple things, because you said some terms that were kind of interchangeable. Muslims, yep. Arab, and Islam. Explain the differences between what is, because you referred to Islam as a religion, like you said, only 14%, a quasi-religion.
Right.
But what about people who are just Muslim? Are all Muslims believers then in Islam? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just going to tell you this. Let me back up here a minute. You know, we have one Muslim in high-ranking position on a GOP in the state of Michigan now. You know that. Her name is Raleigh.
Yes.
I interviewed her on the radio. I caught her in so many lies, I could not believe it. She said I was nasty to her on the radio. No, I just caught her because she was lying. So there's no such thing, in my opinion, and based on my knowledge, talking to my other Muslim friends, and General Boykin and Kamal Saleem and all those, as a peaceful Muslim. You'll have a Muslim that will put the money in the till for zakat, which would pay for jihad, or you'll have a hardcore Muslim that wants to die for Islam. That means they go to heaven and get their 72 virgins. The question is, and many people have asked this question, is there such a thing as a moderate Muslim who doesn't believe in these things? Well, the answer is found in the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Hadith, that if you don't believe every word of the Quran and so forth, then you're not a good Muslim and you are to be killed. So I suspect there are probably some Muslims that don't really believe everything that's in there, but they can't speak out, because if they do, they will be killed as an apostate. So it's a funny gizmo, but I think you got to understand, you cannot trust a Muslim, and this is what pertains to your topic today, for an agreement or a treaty, because their Quran says you can lie and cheat, do whatever you need to do with an infidel country or king or whatever, and if it furthers the cause of Islam. So that's called taqiyya, where you are allowed to lie to the infidel or a kafir, they're one and the same. So they'll come in just like, in my opinion, they're doing now. They're coming in and say, yeah, we want peace. But as soon as they gain their strength, let me back up a minute, they only agree to peace when they are weak. And that's what happened when Israel hammered Hamas in Gaza. They are now weak. Even some of the clans there that don't like Hamas within Gaza are going after Hamas. So when they become weak, they will make these agreements. But they are allowed and encouraged to break those agreements as soon as they gain strength and power again. Therefore, what I believe is, yeah, we will have peace, maybe, for a short time with the Muslims in the Middle East, but it will never last, never. And already, Hamas says, which was part of the agreement that Trump agreed with the other Muslim countries, they must turn in their weapons. They say they're not going to turn in their weapons. And then just yesterday, we had they attacked some Israeli soldiers, and Israeli soldiers killed them. And now they're saying, well, see, they broke the agreement. The Israelis said, no, they did cause the situation where they could say, well, Israel broke the agreement when in fact it was them. That makes
sense? I mentioned that in the first hour when I saw three different news sources where the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, were simply protecting this line that they agreed to. And these Palestinians, you know, were very agitated. They started to attack. They started to come toward them. And the Israeli soldiers basically defending themselves shot and killed 6, 8, whatever the number was. And I said, right now they're alleging that Israel broke the ceasefire and broke the peace treaty. One day into the thing.
Yeah, that's a taqiyya. Exactly right. So the Quran also says Allah is the great deceiver. Now, what does the Bible say about liars? Jesus said that liars will not inherit the eternal life. And if they say Allah is a great deceiver, they're really saying, in my opinion, my God Allah actually is Satan because he is the great deceiver. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, on that point, I got phone text messages blowing up here. My question is this. Because Donald Trump, even in stopping in mid-sentence of signing one of those deals, said, you know, this has been 3,000 years in the making, and this peace treaty agreement will last. This will absolutely hold. Do you think the Prince of Qatar and others that were there, Egypt, Pakistan, India, all of them were there on that stage, do you think they're helping, trying to deceive Donald Trump as part of the taqiyya? Do you think this is their mission, or do you truly believe that they are willing to help Israel and the United States basically get rid of Hamas and try to get rid of these terrorist groups in the Middle East?
Well, let's talk about Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it.
Sure.
They're one of the biggest supporters of terrorism. Okay, so that's a strike against them, in my opinion, right there. But also, from my knowledge, based on what I learned from General Boykin and Kamal Saleem, for example, when Kamal Saleem was in America doing their gig, he told me, I could make a phone call to the Saudi Arabia prince and say, I need $500,000, and they'd send it to me. Why? Because if they didn't send it to me, we would try to overthrow their government. So what I suspect is going on in Qatar is they're trying to protect their butts, and they're going to go along with America for protection. But I don't like the fact that we're getting American. They're going to have a base in, what is it, Idaho or somewhere.
Yeah.
That bothers me quite a bit because I just don't like Muslims, you know, interacting with our military. I don't want them to know our secrets and so forth.
Well, supposedly on that report, I read that story, and what it is they purchased some of our jet fighters. And this Idaho Air Force Base is going to provide training to their pilots, and then they're flying home with those jets. They're not actually keeping a permanent base here, but I understand totally your concern. My other last question here, we got about a minute before the bottom of the hour news break. Will you be able to stay over through, because I've got a ton of text messages for you. Okay.
Yep, I'd love to do that, and I also want to compare Islam to Christianity if I get a chance.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be my final segment with you. I want to talk about that. Okay. Real quick, when we come back from the break, again, I want to talk about the history of it. And how even today, I mentioned in the previous hour, Dr. Abdul El-Sayed, a Muslim, is the top fundraiser in the Democrat Party running for U.S. Senate. We've got Sri Thanadar, already a U.S. congressman. We've got, you know, Rashida Tlaib. I want to talk about how they have infiltrated our politics, both at the local level, state, and national, and get your opinion before we get into the rest of the text messages. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan.